This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. Last fall, Republican Senate candidate Tom Tillis took every opportunity to point out that Senator Kay Hagan's absence at the national security meetings with the Senate Armed Services Committee.
Hagan's missed over half the Armed Services hearings this year. In fact, Hagan admits she prioritized a cocktail party to benefit her campaign.
But now, Tom Tillis has been called out for missing a meeting with the same Armed Services Committee that was getting a briefing on, yes, ISIS. And the big news last night, Governor Pat McCrory signed a bill that widely protects Confederate monuments across the state. The governor called the law an overreach, but he signed it anyway. Political junkie Ken Rudin is back to talk about these and other stories. Welcome back, Ken.
Hi, Frank.
Let's talk about this debate about Confederate monuments. This bill got going long before the debate over Confederate monuments in Missouri. The Governor Pat McCrory signed the bill. It's going to make it more difficult. It says even if you're on county or city property, the state of North Carolina has to decide whether or not you can take down those statues. So what do you make of this, this debate still going on?
Well, you know, I was in last weekend, I was in Charleston, and I visited the AME Emanuel Church, and it was very moving, and the displays of flowers and sadness, and of course that all came from this horrific shooting with somebody who just adored and revered the Confederate flag. Now, as you point out, Frank, I mean, this first passed the Senate in April before the killings in Charleston, South Carolina, but why this had to come up now, every time I'm on your show, we talk about how the legislature puts McCrory in this bizarre and uncomfortable position. But why couldn't that vote have been delayed or put off a little bit while we're still mourning the shootings? And of course, I guess we never stop mourning the shootings. But why do they keep doing that to the governor, having him come up with these things to sign when it'll, one, complicate his reelection bid next year, and two, the politics of it is just, and the timing of it, it just seems awful to me.
Well, George Cleveland is a Republican, and he will answer that question, why now?
You may not like what you're looking at. You may not agree with what you're looking at. But in our country, the right for it to be there exists.
It's an interesting question, Ken, because the right exists because the people have chosen for it to be there, and yet the people of those counties now may not choose. That's kind of an interesting way in which they've turned the question, because it's not just state property, it's local property. And if local folks say, we don't want this monument to slavery, the defense of slavery to be here, they can't take it down. And so I guess it's the question of who's the we in this equation.
Well, you know something, there are a lot of things that the legislature does, whether it just focuses on a local entity or municipality when they want to redraw the districts, or it just seems like for a Republican Party that talks about local control and local control of our own government and way of doing things, that the language in this bill has the state having the authority. And, you know, if a local jurisdiction wants to take it down, they're barred from doing that. And that just seems like the opposite of what we're talking about in the aftermath of South Carolina.
And that means that the Republican legislature and Governor McCrory have defended Confederate monuments. They've made it harder, even for localities, to take it down. And, of course, there was some opposition to this, as you might expect. The opposition came from mostly Democrats. Here's one of them, Cecil Brockman of Guilford County.
I wasn't going to speak on the bill. I was just going to vote until the last comment. And the comments were that those in the Confederacy who fought for the South deserve just as much respect as those who fought in World War I and World War II and Vietnam and all those other wars. And I stood to say they don't. They were on the wrong side of history. They fought for the wrong side. They were traitors to this country. And they don't deserve their same respect, in my opinion, and a lot of people's opinions, as those who fought in other wars.
And that's Cecil Brockman of Guilford County. You know, you talked about the legislature putting the governor in this situation. He signed it, and he said, our monuments and memorials remind us of North Carolina's complete history. The protection of our heritage is a matter of statewide significance. So he's not running away from this.
Well, he hasn't, and of course, I mean, even with Nikki Haley taking down in South Carolina, Nikki Haley removing the flag from the Capitol grounds, she still has not taken said that all monuments, you know, all memories and remnants of the Confederacy should be taken down. And that's an issue. We're talking about the debate should have been happening for decades. Unfortunately, it happened right only after 9 people were murdered in South Carolina. But there are some people said this debate should have been going on for much, much longer. And the debate continues. I mean, there are some people say that, you know, these are racial and racist reminders of an ugly time in the country's past. And, of course, you'll see this other one when you talk about Robert E. Lee and Jefferson Davis and so many highways. I mean, up here in Virginia, there's the Robert E. Lee Highway, the Jefferson Davis Memorial Bridge, things like that. And people say this is not about race. This is about culture and tradition, and the debate continues.
All right. Well, last fall, let's switch gears here and talk about Tom Tillis blasting Kay Hagan. She missed a meeting, in fact, a couple of meetings, similar to a meeting just this last month. These were meetings of the Armed Services Committee where they were being briefed on ISIS at the height of ISIS rise to power. And now Tom Tillis, it turns out, missed a briefing on the same subject at the same Armed Services Committee. He was meeting with Dick Cheney. Tell us more about that.
Well, he does. I mean, his staff does say that the meeting with the former Vice President Dick Cheney was scheduled well before this briefing about ISIS. But when he criticized Kay Hagan last year, he said, look, you know, I would cancel anything, including, of course, her fundraiser, but I would cancel anything to attend a briefing about ISIS. The difference, of course, is that you're not supposed to cancel a national security briefing prior to an election. It's okay to do it, you know, after the election, but do not do it before the election. I mean, what are you thinking? Kay Hagan should have done it. You know, she just canceled it much later. I mean, look, it's silly. I mean, I think it's a silly story, but it just goes. We keep seeing this bouncing back and coming back to bite candidates who go on the offensive, attack their opponent for doing it, and then they do the same thing. Look, Barack Obama, when he was running for president in 2008, kept talking about George W. Bush and all these executive actions he's taking. It's disgraceful. And then, of course, the Republicans are accusing Obama of doing the exact same thing. So both sides do it, and it just gets silly and silly. But this is a very public thing that Tillis was focusing on last year, and here he is doing the same thing.
Well, I mean, silly in the sense that it goes back and forth, but in both cases, I mean, if you have a senator, Kay Hagan, not sitting in on important meetings, that should be a concern to every North Carolinian. Why is our senator, Kay Hagan, not at those meetings? It is not silly to hold her accountable to that, it seems to me, nor is it silly to hold Tom Tillis accountable for his absence.
I'm not saying it's a pointless argument. I'm just saying that, yeah, you know, that we're suddenly shocked to see that a candidate accusing an opponent of doing something does the same thing himself. So that's the only thing that we've seen this time and time again. And, of course, Tillis's argument is that, well, I got great national security briefing from Dick Cheney. But, again, that's obviously not the same thing he accused Kay Hagan of.
Not still in the loop, we hope. Candidates, hey, let's talk about silliness, talk about campaigns, talk about promises, campaign promises, the future campaign promises to be broken, and the Republicans in the upcoming presidential race. Yet another Republican, Ohio Governor John Kasich, jumped into the mix. What does that mean?
Well, you know something, I mean, a lot of the stories say, oh, he's number 16, and we focus on the fact that there were so many Republicans running. Of course, there were 14 Democrats who ran in 1976. But anyway, the point is, I mean, but John Kasich is interesting because he is sort of like Jeb Bush without being Jeb Bush. He supports Common Core education standards. He's talked about pathway to citizenship for people here illegally. He's more of this compassionate conservative type. He is entering the race late. He probably won't make it into the August 6th debate. But, of course, you don't remember who did well in the debates. You only remember the Rick Perry moments debates in debates. So it may not be a terrible thing for John Kasich not to be in it. But he's somebody to watch. He is popular in Ohio. He's he has experience both in Congress and national security issues. He was on Armed Services Committee and, as well, two-term as governor. He's an interesting guy. You know, he's not, he battles like McCrory. He's battled his own Republican legislature over and over again, the legislature being much more conservative in Ohio. We have still 5-6 months to go before Iowa and New Hampshire, but Kasich is somebody to watch.
Donald Trump, talk about silly.
He's somebody to watch, too.
Somebody to watch, as you would watch a train wreck or any other
exactly,
kind of...
Or a carnival, right, exactly.
Why do you think, though, I mean, the fact is, this is a clown act, and yet he's still kind of near the top of the polls. Why is he still in play? That's my question.
Well, you know something, on my Political Junkie program this week, I had Frank Newport, who's the editor-in-chief of the Gallup poll, and he says, when people call up and say, I'm going to read you a name, a list of 16 names, and who do you prefer? Well, I mean, you know, he is a self-promoter. He is a reality TV star. Politics, unfortunately, is a lot about reality TV. In July of 2015, yes, Donald Trump is the leader. But in August of 2015, Herman Cain was the leader. Before that, Rick Perry was the leader. I still think that this is not something that's going to last. I still don't see him at all winning any primary or a caucus. I think the bigger fear among Republicans is that the reason they've stayed away from him for so long from criticizing him is because the fear of him being a third-party candidate, and I'm sure he's going to threaten that over and over again. But he's somebody, as you say, this car crash that you can't take your eyes off, but, you know, once you go after John McCain on being a veteran and, you know, a POW and other incendiary things, I think it's going to wear thin, but you know he throws out the rule books whatever he does, and there's no reason at all to predict what's going to happen.
All right, Ken, see you in a couple of weeks. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Frank.
Ken Rudin, Political Junkie. You can find out more at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, the insightful comedy of Stuart Huff. Stay with us on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.